The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
You know, you've got quite a background in technology. So before we get on with the AI in senior care, can you just summarize that for me a little bit, Terry?
Yeah, look, I've spent 58 years inventing always something different that was needed in my day-to-day stuff. It ranges from technology to find nickel ore bodies under salt lakes, technology to let you use wireless communications underground, and that one's still being used in tunnels today. So when you're driving along and you use your phone or radio in a tunnel, that's my old technology from the 60s. I was involved in the first of the EFT terminals, the low-cost dial-up one. I started that concept. Been involved in public transport ticketing systems from Hong Kong, France, the Bay Area, quite a few others around the world. And I supplied a communication system for the New York City Transit Authority for all their underground services. Developed the first laptop in 1982, and lots of other little ones.
Interesting. So what got you into, I mean, a natural extension would be artificial intelligence, but what made you think artificial intelligence and senior care?
Well, you know, we've been doing AI since the 60s, and it was a logical extension for me to go into looking at it for aged care, because you've got so many different traits that need to be tracked, and the ability to use AI to pick up trends in someone's health and use that then for insightful decisions on preventative medicine for them. And it's a really appropriate sort of technology for aging people.
And your company, Gabriel, has been around how long?
Gabriel was formed 5 years ago as a means of delivering what I saw was something that was vitally necessary, not only for the aging population, but for my own well-being, in that, you know, I looked after mum and dad and my wife's mother and father and her sisters. And one of the things that really got me going was the strain it was putting on the family caused by not knowing what's going on. And so I made a decision 5 years ago that I would create an holistic solution to make sure that I could live longer and better at home, but more importantly, not be a burden on my family.
So for our listeners who I'll bring in right now, Terry Crews wrote the Big Picture column in the current edition of Real Assets Advisor magazine about artificial intelligence and senior care. And I would invite all of you to take a look at that piece. When I spoke with him before he ever wrote it, it's pretty amazing what can be done with senior care. With artificial intelligence applied to senior care and the issues. And, you know, Terry, one of the things you wrote was that, you know, we're facing the senior care crisis in the United States and around the world for that matter. And I think with what's happened with COVID and so many nursing homes getting hit by the coronavirus and so many of the elderly dying in those nursing homes, one of the things that really came to light was how understaffed and undertrained and under-equipped a lot of these nursing homes are, these nursing facilities. And nobody could have anticipated that something like the coronavirus would come along, but it certainly has shed some light on that. But you do call it a senior care crisis for other reasons. Illustrate the nature of the problem as you see it. What is the crisis in senior care?
Look, it boils down to some very simple numbers. And when we look at the aging situation and the speed in which it's coming upon us, every day in America, 11,000 people turn 65. Right now, there's a 17% of the aged population are in aged care. There's more people that need it, but there's just no spaces, and waiting lists of up to 5 years, usually they'll die before they actually get to take up their reservation. And when you do the calculations of saying, okay, 11,000 a day, if we maintained even the current level of 17%, that's 1,870 new beds every day. You then compare that and say, well, that's 682,550 new beds every year required, and that number will increase as the years go by. Again, compare that to last year we built 337,000 apartments, and you can see that we have a huge mismatch in the ability to deliver beds for this aging population. So hence, it's not just a crisis, it's a big tsunami coming down and bearing upon us. And if we don't do something different, we're in big trouble.
You know, you say in the column that the situation for senior care can be improved by applying artificial intelligence to help care for senior citizens. And so one of the technologies you talked about, one of the amazing applications, is that it can look at the artificial intelligence application can look into the face of a senior citizen and not only know if they've had a stroke, but know whether they've had a miniature stroke, something that might not even be detectable by a staff member. So when it comes to something like that and some of the other things that you mentioned in the column, some of the other things that artificial intelligence can do, how much of it is aspirational versus is currently applicable and deployable?
Well, over the last 5 years, I've built every piece of technology that's needed to allow me to live independently and make sure my kids are comfortable in knowing at any time of the day that I'm safe. And so, to me, I think I've reached the end of my immediate goal. Now I'll go on and finesse that so that there's, you know, even more information. But right now, I'm very confident in saying that my own situation's okay, and I can now deploy that to the rest of the world. So it's not aspirational anymore. It's delivered.
It's delivered. So talk about some of the special needs seniors have that you see artificial intelligence addressing. I mentioned that it can detect a stroke, even a very small one, which is huge in the elderly population. What are some of the other really extant problems that senior care facilities deal with that our AI can help mitigate?
I guess that the big problem that occurs is that as a group, you know, we are fiercely independent and we don't want anyone taking away that independence. And every offer of help or questions about our health or questions about how we're feeling, you'll never get a truthful answer. And because the feeling is that, oh, if I say I'm a bit tired or whatever, that's the beginning of them either taking away my car license or putting me into a home. And as a result, you never will get an honest answer when you ask them, you know, how's the pain? Got any pain? No, I'm fine. And all of those things make it very difficult to predict or manage the welfare of seniors when they're not, you know, they'll have a fall in the bathroom and not tell you. We've had people that have had gastric and won't tell you. All of those things are going to add up and make it very difficult to deliver a good health system for these people. So the only way that you overcome that is having sensors and artificial intelligence that monitors them passively and continually assesses their decline in health, which is inevitable in all of us.
Now, you mentioned in the column, and I'll ask you to elaborate on this, you mentioned that there's the challenges to be solved are defined or divided into two audiences. What are the two audiences that you target with these AI applications?
So the first audience, obviously, is the senior. As I've just said, he or she will not tell you the truth about their current position and events that have occurred in their current life. So we need to address that audience with technology and AI in a passive way so they don't even know it's happening. The second audience, which is the one that suffers probably more than the aged person themselves, are the family, friends and carers who don't have enough information to be assured that their loved one or the person they're looking after is in fact okay. And fear of the unknown is quite a big problem in mental health and well-being of the carers themselves.
Talk about how artificial intelligence is actually insinuated into the facility. How does this work? For instance, if I'm a senior citizen in my room, do I have a camera eye there? Do I have sensors or a camera eye there that has me under surveillance at all times and is feeding a stream of data to and would somehow alert one of the staff members if something changed in a way that might be injurious to me?
Well, the things that need to be done have not been done in the past in aged care facilities. Aged care facilities are probably the last bastion to embrace technology. And in talking to a number of them around the world, it takes a very special CEO to recognise the need for this rapid change. And so we've had to be very careful in how we position our technology to get it into these aged care facilities because, you know, they've got extremely crude resident management systems. Some of them don't even have it. Very crude nurse call system so that, you know, we've been to facilities where people can fall out of bed or have a fall in the bathroom and that's not noticed for half a day, in some cases a full day. And so what we need to have in each of those facilities is technology based on AI that if it's in the bathroom, it can recognise that someone's had a fall. And obviously privacy is a big issue in the bathroom, so that, you know, AI can allow you to turn that person into a stick figure and hence they can't be recognised as a person, but that stick figure's enough to let you know that they've had a fall. When they have a fall, one of the important things then is to ensure that there are not too many false alarms. If you end up with alarm fatigue, people will, you know, the boy cried wolf too many times and won't come. And so to overcome that, you need a system that not only alerts the staff, but actually gives them a video link into the bathroom to make sure there is a fall. And if there is a fall, they can press a button and have what they call a code blue and everyone rushes there to help them out. They can also talk to the resident whilst they're on their way so they don't try and move and get up themselves. Similarly in the bed, dementia patients, 90% of them at some point are going to fall out of bed. And it's because they get out of bed when they shouldn't be getting out of bed on their own. And they have a fall. And it's very, very common. And no one's done anything much about that other than sometimes sticking a mattress on the fall to break the fall. It's, you know, just pretty crude. So again, AI can detect when you're starting to get up and out of bed and again raise an alert and let a nurse speak to them remotely until they get there. Lots of other things where, you know, facial recognition can, over time, understand your facial expression such that mood levels can be detected. When someone's depressed, the AI can initiate a call to the family to say, look, mum's depressed, give her a call and cheer her up. Similarly, as you mentioned, strokes, where TIAs or minor strokes will cause very small distortions in the face, and so those things can be picked up and give a warning to the staff that this person needs to have some attention, otherwise a big stroke might be coming.
So let's say you're talking about a nursing home with 200 or 300 residents. To outfit a facility of that scale, what kind of costs would they be looking at?
One of the things that we've learned recently is that nursing homes and aged care facilities are very short of capital, even more so now since the virus has been around, because they've taken a double whammy in that their facilities are locked down. So as a result, they can't bring new residents into their facility. So, you know, for 3 or 4 months, they've had no revenue from new business. During that time, they've had deaths in the facility. So, you know, their percentage of occupancy has gone way down. And as we know, you know, 40-odd percent of deaths have occurred in aged care facilities.
40-odd percent of COVID deaths, yes. Okay, so,
yes.
But are we, what are we thinking in terms of a dollar figure, and then is there a payback on this? I mean, obviously, you want to take the best care of your residents you can. If you keep your residents healthy and in the facility, you don't have an empty bed, and you don't have, and you're not losing revenue. I'm thinking from an investor standpoint, you know, what am I going to have to invest, and what is the payback on that? Is that a calculation that you've spent time with, or are you looking at it strictly from the standpoint of, look, your residents are going to be better off. This is a humanitarian thing, and, you know, the cash be damned.
Yeah, look, the cost is not a lot. And we're talking about not a CapEx model, but an OpEx model, so that you can say roughly $100 a month gives a facility, $100, that's per bed, per month, gives them virtually all of the technology they need to look after their residents. And because a lot of that is able to be giving daily reports to the family, most families would say, I'm going to pay $100 a month just to make sure mum's okay.
Can it be done piecemeal, Terry? I mean, can it be one of those things that, look, that we have the capability to do this, but there's this added cost, and we're going to the families, and we're asking whether they want this implemented or not. You can monitor mom or dad and really stay on top of their wellness and so on. Or is it, look, it's a sort of deal where you just outfit the facility, or can it be done piecemeal?
So the answer to that's twofold. We're now seeing a need in aged care facilities to monitor visitors to the facility. You know, do they have a temperature? Have they had a flu vaccination? All those sorts of things. And then make sure that they have their allocated time with their parents. And what we've just, in Australia now, the rule is you can have a visit to your loved one once a fortnight for an hour. However, to get in, you must have your temperature taken and a certificate that you've had a flu vaccination. And so to make that really work in the organisation, they're putting in what we call visitation systems, so that everyone's checked at the front door against a photo they've pre-supplied to make sure it's them, their certificates checked, and their temperatures checked. And if they pass that test, then they're told to sanitise their hands, and once they've sanitised their hands, they're allowed into the facility. Every facility has a stack of security cameras that are currently installed for just recording who's where and what, and that information's rarely looked at. So we've found a way of actually turning those cameras into facial recognition cameras as well. And so as the person moves through the facility, we know who they've come in contact, We know they've gone into the right room that they're allowed to go to. We know when they're supposed to leave so they can be given an alert, and we make sure that they actually exit. Now, where that comes to its fore is not only in stopping people with a fever getting in, but providing a tracking system, because so many of these cases have occurred where the visitor was asymptomatic, and so they find out a day or two later. So using that system and AI, you're able to say, who did this person come in contact with during their visit? And so you very quickly can isolate those people and reduce the chances of that virus spreading in the facility. And so once that infrastructure's in, then any of our technology can then just be added. This patient is one who wanders, so we'll keep a track on them. This patient falls out of bed at night, so we can put the technology in to detect that before they fall out of bed. And so, yes, it's a necessity at the moment that people start to look more at visitation systems. And as a side benefit, they've then got all of the technology and platform that's needed to put everything else in a piecemeal situation.
So there's been talk for years about construction of intelligent buildings. What is the status of the IQ of senior housing facilities, and what could it be using some of the AI technologies you're talking about?
Look, I'm very disappointed in how this smart home idea has been pushed by people who think that just sticking a few sensors in a place is enough. You put movement detectors in, which most of them prescribe these days. All that does is tell you that someone or something is moving. Now, if there's only one person in the room forever, you can draw some assumptions from that movement information. However, practically that doesn't happen. A cleaner comes, a carer comes, a nurse comes, a handyman comes, and the cat causes problems, the wind blows the curtains. All those things contribute to defeating what people are professing as being the solution. So to me, most facilities have very little modern technology to provide anything of value to their residents or their families, so that it needs to be part of having IQ type senior housing facilities, because unless you do that, you've got nothing to differentiate yourself, and you're not adding any value to that resident's life. And let's face it, you know, with the need for 600,000 odd new rooms, there's a great market for investors in building facilities aimed at the senior population. And let's face it, you know, we're seeing that the baby boomers are probably the richest of the prospects out there now, and probably the only ones that can afford a lot of these high-end facilities to live in. And plus, you know, as a baby boomer, you want to get rid of your home and cutting lawn and all the other problems. So you've got freedom that if, you know, I want to go overseas or go on a trip, I just close the door and walk out. So the developers and investors that produce facilities with good AI differentiate themselves, and in most cases can charge a premium for that facility to a very large ready market.
The reception has been what? Do the administrators at senior care facilities, has the reception been, gee, you know, we're cash strapped and it's a nice idea, but, or is it the sort of thing where they see, they gravitate to it very readily and they understand the kind of difference it could make?
You get a few of the innovative facilities that really embrace this very quickly. There are others who say, I'm too busy or I don't have the capital and, you know, we're not really into technology. Those guys won't be around in the future. It's now or never that people have to start embracing, particularly AI, in facilities to be able to handle this rush of people that are coming. And more and more seniors will want to live not necessarily in an aged care facility until they go too far down the track, but in relative luxury in condo apartment type buildings that actually provide this sort of technology. And we're working with a very large developer now as to how much of this technology can be built in as stock standard in their condos, and what can be optional extras that they can present to the family.
You know, that's the other part of this, which you alluded to earlier, Terry, is that people don't want to give up their independence. They want to stay in their home as long as they can. And you do see situations where the children will, I'll give you an example. I have a friend who he and his siblings put a camera in the home. Now, that's not a high-tech concept or anything, but the mom would get up and walk around during the night, and they wanted to know that she was still ambulatory and whatnot, and have a view on the place. This sounds like the kind of technology that could potentially have a big market right in the home, that people just decide, look, we've got a stubborn parent, they want their independence, or I would want my independence too. I understand the desire. Let's go ahead and get this technology into the home. Are you seeing that happen, and is that practical given the cost? Although you've already said the cost is not exorbitant.
Look, we're seeing that every day now, and our analysis is that the eldest daughter, usually in the 45 to 55 year old age group, is the one that takes responsibility for the aging parents. And they are obviously very IT literate now, and so they get what we're doing and they understand how much it will benefit them. And in most cases, they're sort of saying now, well, we don't want to put mum into a home, but why don't we sell their existing home, because it's going to be too much for them to keep up the garden and everything else, and find them a nice condo apartment where they can have all of these features and have the independence of not having to worry about cutting the grass and fixing the fence that's falling down, all those things. So that we're seeing a huge response from that age group of children that are going to have to look after their parents, so that everyone's experienced or heard of someone who's had a fall. 50% of the over 65s are going to have a fall. 50% of them go to hospital and 50% don't recover. They die. And so, everyone's had those sorts of experience, or their friends have had it, and so they understand the need to provide extra technology to keep mum and dad safe. And again, I say, the developers and investors who provide facilities that cater for this sort of thing are going to be able to charge a premium for their facilities, and they've got a huge ready market.
It's amazing how often you hear about somebody falling, and it is the beginning of the end, and the end comes very quickly. It's almost like you want to tell every aging person, do Tai Chi, do yoga, do anything that improves your balance, because that fall is so often as you've indicated, they just don't recover from it. So let me ask you this. Is the technology you're talking about a one-size-fits-all? Or let's say you have a senior that's got a very particular ailment of some kind. Can this be customized at all, or is that next generation where it actually is customized for the particular resident that might have something that's a little bit offbeat? Everybody needs to stay on their feet. Everybody needs to be on guard against a stroke. Or if somebody's got dementia, not be wandering off, but there might be some more particular type of ailments that can it be programmed for that? Is that a current opportunity, or is that a next generation thing?
Well, I guess I'm one of the few people in the world that doesn't agree with the current models that are being pushed around, where you create huge databases of every man and his dog in the world and use that to teach and learn certain things. My view is that every person is an individual, so that my database will be hundreds and thousands of instances of that person. I don't care whether the next door neighbour has got some quirks, because it's not going to help me treat the individual. So that everything that an individual does in the home enables us to get sharper and sharper, and more importantly, measure over time their decline. And so, you know, you can pick that, you know, mum's used to take a minute to get to the kitchen, and she always did that at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now she's doing it at 8:30 and it's taking her 5 minutes and 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then you can then draw from that conclusions that says, maybe her dementia's getting worse, or now she's got dementia, she's confused, she takes too long to get there. Maybe her gait's changing, so she can't move as fast. You know, is that then a sign that someone needs to give us some core muscle therapy? Or should we be looking at changing her medication because she's not moving the way she should be moving and is in danger of a fall? All of those things can only be achieved by daily and as often as possible observing that person. And it's those observations that let you say, I think she's in pain today, or her mood is down, or she's had a TIA last night. And that will be the future of medicine, because no human can track those things that are very, very minor changes in from day to day. And so artificial intelligence has the ability then to learn everything about the individual and very quickly say, this is not normal. And so certainly more people will follow my model of AI and machine learning based on an individual as opposed to the crowd.
So I almost hate to ask this question, but does it create an opportunity for a senior care facility because of the efficiency of the monitoring and the diagnosis, create a situation where the number of staff members required would be fewer?
Look, I don't think that we will get to a situation where you have less staff. What you will have now is they're understaffed today, but this will enable them to catch up and provide a better facility and service and a better health outcome, not only for the individuals, but also the staff. You know, everyone talks about abuse in aged care facilities where staff will manhandle a particular resident. What they don't talk about is there's as many instances of the residents attacking the staff. And AI is one thing that if you can improve the mood of the person with dementia, there's a strong chance they won't become aggressive or have behaviour that's not appropriate in a facility, and the staff then won't have as much danger presented to them. And you know, and I've seen the examples of it, and it's not nice.
Now in Japan, because of shortages of professionals there, I mean, it's the oldest society, it's Japan or Italy is the oldest society in the world, they are actually creating robots to care for, and I don't know how far along they are, but they've been working hard to deploy robots that can actually assist senior care residents. One of the things that, the reason I bring that up is that one of the things I noticed when my mom was in a nursing home is although she was being visited daily by her children, there were a lot of people in there that didn't get any visitation. Is there any opportunity with AI for interaction where there's a chance to actually engage the resident in a way that alleviates what might become, loneliness that could obviously become depression and so on? And maybe it doesn't have to be in a robot form, but what about that whole situation where you've got residents that just, they don't get visits and they get lonely and maybe even depressed? Where does AI come into play with that?
That's a very important function that has been overlooked for so long and accepted as norm. Statistics say that over 40% of residents of aged care never ever get a visitor. And you can look at some of the reasons for that is that if you go into a residential system that's got a lot of dementia patients, and a lot of those dementia patients have become anti-society, aggressive, and in late stages. And the common way of fixing that is that you medicate them so they're like zombies, or you strap them into chairs. And most people will be reluctant to take their grandchildren in to see grandma or grandpa amongst that environment, even though their own may not be that degraded in their health. And when you start losing that grandparent-grandchild connection, depression certainly sets in and becomes classified as social isolation, which has been proven to be worse than obesity or alcoholism and all of those things as far as killing people. So AI can determine when someone is getting down, and that's where either a call from the family is made, because the system can tell the family it's time to ring, or alternatively you can start using some of the volunteer organisations who could actually ring that person when they're down and cheer them up. One of the other options these days, which is becoming more popular, is co-locating an aged care facility with a childcare facility. And so, you know, the kids get to mingle with the residents, and in a lot of cases they'll bring pets and things in as well, which again is very therapeutic, particularly for dementia patients.
Our guest has been Terry Crews. He's a serial inventor of technologies, and he's a founder of a company called Gabriel. It's a company focused on bringing artificial intelligence to the senior care market, which is exactly what we've been talking about here. He joined us by phone from Honolulu, Hawaii. Terry, this is just fascinating stuff. It's amazing what these you say artificial intelligence has been around since the 60s. It certainly has come a long way since the 1960s, and it's really amazing what it's capable of doing. And I want to just remind our listeners that Terry's column, it's the Big Picture column in Real Assets Advisor magazine, but you can access it on any of our websites, the IREI website, or websites, I should say. And all you have to do is type in Terry Crews, T-E-R-R-Y, last name Crews, C-R-E-W-S. Terry, thanks very much for the column that you wrote and the work that you're doing and for joining us and explaining it all.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mike. It's it's a passion of mine to deliver to my senior cohort all I can do, and I'm looking at really improving our lives as we grow older. And as I keep telling people, this is technology developed by a senior, four seniors, and hence it's very focused on what's needed.